Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your first look for this week's Charles Schwab Challenge. And joining me to break it all down, Sia Najad is here. Sia, what up?
Rick, how you doing? I think we're kind of sweating what's going on right now at the PGA Championship. But so we got one eye on that, and we got one eye on the Charles Schwab Challenge next week.
I've got one eye on Greg Ducharme, who rounds out our group for today. Greg, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you guys, too. What an exciting weekend it's been. And we are going to get next week a completely different style of tournament. So I'm really looking forward to it. Games, as we say every week, it's in a great place.
The game is in a great place. This is your first look for the Charles Schwab Challenge. Quick look at the tournament, the field, the notables, all that good stuff. But Sia, it's hard to look at this event and not think back to last year. This was the first event back, 91 days off. We didn't know what to expect. We didn't know when golf was coming back. We didn't have any fans. It was weird. And it was DB straight vibing who ended up winning this thing.
Yeah, a guy who's kind of letting us down this week to some degree, but I'll tell you, you know, I was going to come on this show and say, hey, you know, maybe last year's stats and maybe last year's finishing positions, maybe you need to weigh that a little bit less because it was the first tournament back. But honestly, when I look at the leaderboard from last year, it's a lot of guys that I'm going to like this week. So I don't know that I want to thrust that narrative out there. So yeah, I think this is really interesting, especially when you consider the dynamic of last year being the first tournament back from the pandemic.
And at the time last year, Greg, and I think it got beat the following week, but it was like the strongest non-major field ever because everyone was just dying to get back. The first 3 weeks were some of the strongest fields we've had that were not major championships. So it was no small feat for Daniel Berger, who ended up beating Colin Morikawa in a playoff, to end up hoisting the trophy.
Right. No small feat is a really good point because they really had to go up against the best players in the world. And it was cool to see. And I'm kind of, in a way, surprised. I think it's a strong field again this week, which I didn't know what to expect, really. But it's a great golf course at Colonial, and everybody seems to love it. And it gave us great theater. It's completely different than Kiawah Island. Obviously, it's not on the ocean, but it's also much shorter. And I think that's one of the reasons why Daniel Berger is going to have success again this week, like he did last year, and maybe struggled a little bit at the ocean course. He tends to, and I'm going to kind of keep my eye on this over time, but I think we talked about it briefly on Monday. Berger seems like a guy who does really well on shorter courses. Longer courses, it's more of a mixed bag. So I think guys that missed the cut this week, because the course setup is going to be so different, I think they may actually have, in a way, depending on how they did it, an advantage.
It's a par 70. The scorecard reads 7,209 yards. Sia, I mean, Greg's right. You kind of look at some of the past winners around here. Daniel Berger, Kevin Na, Justin Rose, Kevin Kisner, Jordan Spieth. I mean, is there a through line here of champions? Can you have any set of skills to win this golf tournament, or is there something we should be banking on specifically?
No, I mean, I think the answer is yes. I think the whole field is brought into play, especially when you look at past winners. I mean, it's going to be one of those courses where you're going to want to kind of plot your way down each hole, and you're going to want to be scientific with it to some degree. So I'm really kind of bringing in those shorter hitters in play as far as, you know, metrics that I'm looking at, you know, a little less off the tee than maybe I would have at the PGA Championship. Approach is going to be a big one here, and maybe some of those shorter approach shots, because we're not going to see as many of the 175 to 200, as many as the 200 plus like we have the last couple of weeks. So those kind of mid-range approach numbers is probably what I'm going to be focused on.
Remember we were trying to handicap this last year and be like, recent form. What's Rory been up to? He's been on the Peloton. I don't know. Like, we had no form to go off of. Oh, it was a ton of fun. Greg, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, the course, Colonial. This is an absolute staple on the PGA Tour. All 76 editions of this tournament have been played at Colonial, and there's only one other host course that's been on the schedule longer. Would you like to take a crack at what that course might be?
Can I have a year for the Colonial?
I don't have the year for the Colonial. Okay. So whatever. Sorry. 2021 minus 76 is.
So it's 76 years. What's been on the schedule for?
So it would have been
76 years.
1946.
Yeah, that's a wow.
It's an easy but a tricky one, in my opinion.
I mean, I can think, I have the one that I have in my head that just keeps on coming into my head is wrong. I know it because it's the longest sponsor, the longest title sponsor, which is Honda, I believe. What golf course has been?
Come on, Greg. What
longest?
Golf course is really old and we play it every single year?
Oh, that's so easy. Yeah, Augusta National.
Augusta National. There you go. Yeah. It's like a tricky one, but also an easy one at the same time.
But no, it's a kick yourself one, is what it is. It's a trap, it's a trick question.
It is a trick question. Okay, let's look at this field. So we've got the field list as of right now, gentlemen. Phil Mickelson is in this field. Sometimes this happens. The guy who's like deep in contention the week before pulls out. I don't know if Phil will fulfill this commitment, but he is currently in the field. Also, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Daniel Berger are defending champion. Let's start with those guys, Sia. Obviously, Spieth played this week. JT got the weekend off. DB played all four rounds, but not necessarily particularly well.
Yeah, and when I evaluate those players, I mean, obviously, I think the one that stands out is going to be Jordan Spieth for me, especially when, again, I mean, this narrative is a little tired with Jordan, but especially when off the tee is probably minimized a little bit. I think Jordan has the ability to sort of dominate this course. In the model that I've built, which again, it's Sunday afternoon, so this might get tweaked a little bit, but Jordan Spieth shows up third on that model, whereas Daniel Berger and Justin Thomas, they're near the top 10. They're in the top 10, but they're not where Jordan Spieth is. So my confidence is pretty high on Jordan Spieth. And honestly, you guys know I'm not necessarily huge on Jordan Spieth week to week. So I think this is the tournament where I kind of expect him to be there Sunday afternoon late.
We often don't really care about missed cuts when it comes to the big name players, Greg. And I think Justin Thomas is a guy who would certainly fit that mold. He missed the cut on the number at the PGA Championship. He didn't do anything particularly horrible. I mean, he was within a stroke of average in all four major categories, either in the positive or the negative, which is a little disappointing because he did not hit his irons well, but he was tour average. I can't imagine JT stays down for very long.
No, I think that's a good call, Rick. And again, like I said, stylistically, this is going to be so different. And you're going to have the ability to really lean on some of that iron play and that wedge play, which I think goes a long way for a Justin Thomas. But there's a little bit less mental pressure because it's not a major championship. But also the wind, it really leans on you. And it can work in your favor, but it can also be something that's really tiring and exhausting and frustrating. And that's what happens in majors. The margin between having a great week and having success and missing the cut is very fine. And that's why a Justin Thomas, a Xander Schauffele, who's not playing this week. But those guys, you're not too worried about when they miss the cut. You're just disappointed. But it's not like a long-term, what's wrong with them? Because you can play really well and miss a cut in a major.
Colin Morikawa goes back to the scene of the crime. This is where he missed that short putt, gentlemen. Was that in the playoff he missed the putt, or was it on 18?
Yes.
It was in the playoff.
It was in the playoff. And okay. Xander missed one on 17.
That's what I was
from
thinking.
From like 3 feet. And okay. That was in regulation. But Morikawa was in the playoff.
Well, he's back here at it again. Sia, of course, one of the best ball strikers on the planet. Also, we're getting a bit of a resurgence from Gary Woodland. Patrick Reed is going to be in the field. Any of those golfers interest you as you start to, you know, handicap our week here at Colonial?
Well, it's funny you mentioned those three, because last year, all three of those guys were in the top 10 among some of the other players we've already talked about. I think Colin Morikawa is the most attractive one to me. And I'm really curious to see where Gary Woodland is priced, because we've gotten such a discount on Gary Woodland over the last I would say month or so. I played him a lot in DraftKings this week, and of course it's paid off, but I wonder if he finally gets the bump. I mean, this field is a little different. I think he was 7,500 in DraftKings last week, and I know we're talking about, you know, outrights on this show too, but just kind of pointing that out, I wonder what his outright price and what his DraftKings price are going to be, and obviously we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Justin Rose having himself a pretty decent Sunday at the PGA Championship. Sergio Garcia also in this field, and then Louis Oosthuizen, Greg. You know, we were kind of talking before we went hot. If Louis made any putts at the PGA Championship, and there's still time, there are still plenty of holes to be played, and no one's running away with this thing. Like, Louis could have ran away with this thing if he made like two putts, and he's one of the best putters that we have on the PGA Tour. How do we reconcile that for the following week?
He's played really well week in and week out. So I think I'm pretty high on Louis again. Probably a step down from where I am with him in majors. I usually am very high on him in major championships, and this is one where maybe there's kind of an emotional exhale and you kind of worry about that, but we'll see where the rest of today takes us with Louis. So I think he's interesting, but there's another guy that we don't have on our big name list who played today and played an excellent round today, and I think is a fascinating story this week. It's Abraham Answer. Mm-hmm. And he, I mean, maybe I'm letting the cat out of the bag a little bit here, but he doesn't it just seem like this is the perfect course for him? Like he should, yeah. I don't know. I could see Abraham Answer making, another alley instead of calling this Hogan's Alley. It's Answer Alley or something.
Hey, Greg, spoiler alert for tomorrow. Guess who's number one in my model?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not surprised. Yeah. I mean, he came in tied 14th last year. He's one of the most accurate players. And when somebody goes out and shoots a 65 in a final round leading into the next week, it reminds me of Jon Rahm at the workday leading into Memorial last year. So yeah, I'd say he's pretty high up there on my model too.
One narrative we will hear this week, Sia, is like, oh, those guys got their butt kicked by the course or by the weather last week. Will there be this major hangover, right? It was tough conditions. They're out there, par is a good score, getting beat up for four rounds. Like, are you considering any of that as you start to make decisions for Colonial?
Not really. I mean, I think sort of the opposite is true. When you, and Greg, maybe you can speak to this as well, but when you face a tough challenge like this and you all of a sudden come to a course where the conditions all around, course conditions, weather conditions are all significantly easier, I think it just feels almost like you got a sense of relief, like I can attack this course, whereas at the PGA Championship, you know, not necessarily. So I don't factor that in at all. If anything, I think it's a positive for the golfers.
In a way, it can go from being very unfun. Like for some of the players at Kiowa this week, it's not fun. It's hard. It's really hard work. And every shot you have to be so precise, and they're so long. You got to be precise with five irons, right? It's not a very like pleasant golf course to play around on. It's extremely penal and extremely challenging. You go to Colonial and it's just, there is that, the opportunity to attack, and you don't feel like if you make a 5-yard mistake, you're going to make a double. So it definitely is a sigh of relief, and it can lead to more aggressive play.
All right, gentlemen. Well, we are going to be back on Monday for the full DFS breakdown, and of course Tuesday for your mega preview pod. But for now, we'll put a pin in this conversation. We'll go see how the PGA Championship finishes up. So let me thank producer Jacob, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. Let me thank Sia Najad, who you can find on Twitter at Sia Najad. That's Greg Ducharme. You can find him at The Real GFD, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.